I'm Julie Mooney, and this is Teaching Strides, Season 2, Episode 1. Teaching Strides is a podcast series featuring Mount Royal University faculty discussing some of their finest teaching practices. Teaching Strides is recorded and produced in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, in Treaty 7 territory, the traditional territories of the Niitsitapi Nations, which include the Siksika, the Piikani, and the Kainai. We also acknowledge this place as the traditional lands of the Tsuut'ina Nation, Iyarhe Nakoda Nation, and the Métis Nation of Southern Alberta. In Season 2, we explore stories in teaching and learning with featured guests whose disciplinary backgrounds span the library sciences, education, filmmaking, radio broadcasting, engineering, the scholarship of teaching and learning, business, entrepreneurship, music, English, and creative writing. We hope that the stories shared in Season 2 will inspire faculty colleagues throughout the Academy to engage in reflective thinking and interdisciplinary discussion about teaching and learning. Today we speak with Professor Margie McMillan, who will share her story entitled, Learning to Teach is an Act of Letting Go. Margie McMillan is a full professor in the library at Mount Royal University. She has been bringing people and information together at Mount Royal since 1990. A laureate of the Mount Royal Distinguished Faculty Teaching Awards, Professor McMillan connects people with information and each other, and helps them learn to use information resources more effectively. Known by colleagues to have loads of fun at work, Professor McMillan is engaged in teaching, research, and initiatives such as Triads, a peer collaboration, mentoring, and support program for Mount Royal faculty. Professor McMillan's current teaching and scholarship interests focus on helping students read academic articles and using data from the assessment seminar series of interviews to better understand how students develop disciplinary identities. Professor Margie McMillan, welcome to Teaching Strides.
Thanks, Julie. Glad to be here.
So today you'll be telling us a story called Learning to Teach is an Act of Letting Go.
Yes, this was an epiphany that I had, and I've seen it happen in others over the course of my career.
Thank you. I'd invite you to share your story with us.
All right. A little bit of background. As a librarian, most of my teaching is in other people's classes. So I see students often for one or two classes during the course of their semester. And my role in that is to help them understand information as it pertains to what they need for an assignment, what they need for their course, their program, and perhaps the rest of their natural lives. So I don't have particular marking responsibilities, I don't have particular assessment responsibilities, and I think that gives me a lot more space for fun in the class and room for creativity. So teaching is an act of letting go. This was something that happened fairly early in my teaching career, although perhaps for my students not early enough. I had been working with the business faculty in a marketing class and teaching a course, a session that I called the 7 deadly reference sources. And they really were deadly, and I'm not sure why students didn't die in the course of those, because I would bring in 7, at this time, text reference sources about demographics and things useful for marketing, hold each of the 7 up, like the tablets, and expound on their value to students, and the students would politely nod or fall asleep because Facebook hadn't been invented yet. So I've been struggling with this because I knew it wasn't working all that well. And I had an epiphany on the bus. I take the bus into work. And I thought, well, what if it wasn't me doing the talking? I thought, can I do that? Can I let go? What if they don't get all of the wonderfulness that is incorporated in these wonderful 7 deadly reference sources? And I said to myself, calm down. You'll be there. You can fill it in. So I had a very good relationship with the prof, and as she was bringing the class of students into the library, I said, Leslie, I'm going to do something different. And she said, go for it. And I said, the students are already in groups, right? She said, yep. Ask them to stand in their groups. So she did. The students were mulling about the reference collection because that's where I showed them that the books lived when they weren't in the classroom with us. And they stood in their groups, and I handed each book to one of the groups of students. Coincidentally, there happened to be 7 groups, so clearly fortune was on my side. We walked into the classroom, and I told the students they had 10 minutes to figure out what the book was, what the information was, how it would be useful for their assignments. And then at the end of that 10 minutes, they would take turns presenting and pitching it to the rest of their class. And a miracle happened. They actually engaged with the material. There was buzz in the classroom. I wandered around from group to group and sometimes pointed out there is a table of contents at the front and an index at the back that might be useful in interpreting where the good bits of the book were, and just answer their questions. And I was getting really, really excited because they were seeing things in the book that I hadn't, and noticing things, and they were exploring the book, and they were discussing it with each other, and it was great. And after 10 minutes, I had to call a halt to all that learning because they had to present. And they did. And because they were marketing students, I think, there was a bit of competition in pitching their sources. They took very great pride in their source. And after the first one, subsequent presentations focused on why their source was better. Right. So it was that was an interesting development in the class that I hadn't foreseen. It worked really well. And there were a couple of sources where I was standing at the back and I would say, this source is also useful for at the end of a presentation. So I felt good that I could fill in and that crucial bits weren't missing. But the other thing I noticed was that students were taking notes in ways that they had never, ever done when I had been talking about the books. So clearly their peers were more trusted sources than I was. And so watching them take notes, watching them respond not only to the text that their group had had, but to the other texts the groups brought with them, was really powerful. And it really was a turning point in my teaching to see that I'd let go and nothing horrible had happened. And by teaching less, I'd seen more learning.
Thank you, Margie. What a great story.
Yeah.
Something that strikes me in the story is, a couple things. It seems like the presentation transformed from the seven deadly references to the seven lively references.
Yes. You know?
Yeah. That the room just took on a whole new life with the student engagement. And the other thing that struck me was your relationship to their professor, your colleague who was bringing her class to you. She really put her trust in you.
Yep.
Had you worked together before or?
Yes, I taught with Leslie several times before in previous years. We worked well together in the classroom, and so there was a degree of trust there because we built up that prior relationship.
Yeah, and I think it speaks to sort of the importance of the environment in which we're teaching and the kind of collegial relationships that we have to support kind of taking risks in our teaching practices, right?
Absolutely. Would I have felt able to do that with another instructor? I might not have. But part of it was that these students were receptive to a dynamic teacher, because Leslie certainly was. It worked well with how they were used to learning. And I will say that talking with Leslie after that session when the assignments came in, not only did she see more use of the group's particular, one of the seven deadly lively texts, but she saw more use of all the other texts by each group. So there was actually much more transfer and integration with their work. And that's really what the goal was, right? Is to not just introduce them to these, but to have them see them as useful. So the only change I made to teaching that session for the next several years was really to develop an advanced organizer. So some place for the students to put their notes that had an accurate title for the source and an accurate call number so that they could find it again. And as the information world morphed, that became an accurate internet address, an accurate URL.
How do you think this might transfer into other disciplines? And would there be any advice you might give to a colleague from another discipline who is thinking about letting go a little bit more in their own class? And what kind of preparation might they need to do with their students to get to that point?
There'd be a couple of things. One, I've done similar things with students who are less open to presenting, and I do it in different ways. I use collaborative writing tools in the classroom so the students write and can see each other write on the screen, but they're not formally presenting necessarily a lot of the content. So it's another way of having them engage with the material and teach each other, but without the scary factor of presenting. But I would say, number one, have a couple of back pocket strategies. Have a plan B, a plan C, and all the way to Z, just in case things don't go well. Have an understanding of what is really critical for them to do if you want to let go. And for me, it was never really about the actual details of the content. It was to know that there were resources there that could help you answer questions. And I think focusing on that process rather than detail of content, and that doesn't work all the time, right? So not I have passively ingested this learning, but I have internalized it by exploring and making it my own. And I think that translates across all disciplines, really.
Thank you so much, Margie, for joining us on the podcast and for sharing your teaching practices.
Thank you.
This has been Episode 1 of Teaching Strides, Season 2. Join us next time when Professor Scott Hughes shares his story, Believing in Students' Capacity, Paying Attention to Pedagogical Moments.
And yet Catherine was this really powerful student with a lot of moxie who taught me the valuable lesson, two things. One, to believe in the capacity of children, and also the value of getting out of their way.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe to the Teaching Strides series on iTunes. Visit us at teachingstrides.ca, where we post guest bios and photos, and where you can sign up for email alerts and our RSS feed. Teaching Strides is a production of the Academic Development Center at Mount Royal University.